Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
You don't have to throw it 50 times. You know, I think an interesting stat was, I think the passes, quarterbacks that attempt more than 50 passes a game have won 22% of their games. Other than Tom Brady, so he's won like 70% of the games that he's had to throw for more than 45 times or something. So if you don't have Tom Brady, then you probably shouldn't throw it 45 or 50 times a game.
I've seen that clip going around a lot on social media. That is new Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel doing an interview on our sister station over in Boston, WEEI. I enjoy that clip because I've seen a lot of people like lose their minds. They're like, oh no, Drake May's screwed. He's going to want to run the ball forever. Like, he's doing, like, there was another part of the clip as well. I wanted to play that one just because it was more of the passing game. But he mentions also, like, the running game where it's like, yeah, teams that have run the ball 40-plus times, like, are, like, 145-1. Like, and it's like, well, yeah. If you ran the ball 40 times in a game, you likely were leading by a ton. And right. The second half was you going, like, just get out of here, guys. I got reservations at name this restaurant here. I've got reservations at Dorsia. Let's go. Let's get through this. Well, that's if you're passing the ball 50 times a game, you're likely down.
Right. And that's the thing too, is like I feel like those numbers always get skewed, and I feel like it's been kind of the one of the talking points for this game with Bills Ravens too, because it's like when you're up, you're gonna be running the ball more. And when you're up and you have a good running back or the best running back in the league, you're also going to be running the ball more. So, like, you're going to see more inflated stats. You're going to see bigger numbers and everything like that. So, it's just kind of crazy how stuff like that gets skewed.
But perfect example of that with passing stats. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking about Allen as an MVP, and I think rightfully so. They're 13-4. The whole thing. The 3 years prior to this year, his passing attempts. We'll go to 20 since his ascension. 20 attempts, 572. 646, 567, 579. Do you know what his number was this year, Josh? Albeit with one game he did not play. 483. And they're 13-4. That matches their win total from 22 and from 20. He threw way less passes.
Wow.
They ran the ball more.
I remember.
But even then, James Cook, though, himself, I think is down like 30. And ultimately, he missed the Jets game. He was down like 30 carries.
Yeah.
From last year.
I remember we talked in the offseason, like right before the season started, we were doing our predictions for like who was going to have what and everything like that. I think we were talking about Allen having upwards of 500, 600 passes.
I was looking at two of like they're going to use it in the run game. I thought, honestly, a perfect example, Denver, where they use a lot of bubble screens to kind of get their run game going. I kind of was assuming that. It didn't turn into that at all. Instead, it just became we're going to be horrifyingly efficient. That no one can really stop us. We're going to score points, and then we're going to kind of just kill the game out. We're going to hand the ball off to Ray Davis. Josh is going to have a few runs here and there. We're going to kill the game out, and we're not going to have to do too much. Even look at this past week. Allen ends up having 26 passing attempts. It wasn't like we asked him to have a 45 game, what have you. Jackson's sort of the same thing. For as great as his passing season was, what do you have against the Steelers, like 21 passing attempts? That's the thing. I mean, like, if you have those high passing numbers, it's because your team is down.
Right.
If you have high rushing numbers, it's because your team is up. So I like that quote from Vrabel because I think Vrabel is intelligent enough, and you can kind of tell too. He's like sort of laughing there, and he's like mentioning like, "Hey, you really only want to do that like if Brady's your quarterback." Partly because like you only really want to do it if you're down.
Jackson was 16 of 21 against Pittsburgh,
And then, yeah, real quick on James Cook's rushing numbers this year. Last year, he had 237 attempts. This year, 207. And he ultimately missed about two games.
Right,
the Jets game, and he doesn't play against New England.
Mm-hmm.
So he maybe equals out about there, but...
Sure, but at the same time, like, I don't think that those missed games, like, make much of a difference, because even if he had played those games, like, let's say those games mattered, right? I think it would still be more of the same of what we saw all season, where it was kind of a half and half the whole game, right? Like, we never saw the game, like... Last year, I think it was, where James Cook had
Cowboys.
A day against Cowboys, against the Cowboys, and he was going all the time, and we never saw a game like that this year. There wasn't, I don't think, anyway. Am I misremembering some of these games where maybe he did have more of it? But I think also the fact of Ray Davis and Ty Johnson also being so good in the running game, it kind of is like that revolving door where you just keep going and going and going and having all these different guys just get in there and do the job. Mm-hmm. And I think that also plays into it, but not nearly as much as the fact that, you know, if he would have had one game where it was all on him, I think it would have made a bit of a difference.
You know, mentioning that Dallas game, he has 27 rushing attempts in that game, 170, one touchdown. We all kind of know it. I mean, the Bills have openly talked about how, yeah, we kind of just killed the game away. Like, we realized they weren't going to change, and we were like, no, all right, cool. We'll just get rid of you then. His highest rushing attempts this year was last week, 23 rushing attempts. His highest before that is a 20-burger against Houston.
So, I mean, he was close. And I was honestly, like, looking at the numbers here, it was kind of an average. I'm going to guess, without doing the math on the averages here, I'm going to guess about 15, 16 attempts per game. And to have the numbers he's having with those... like with the rushing attempts he's having, like, I feel like that's really, really good. Like, his yards per carry this year it's actually worse. Well, actually, no, technically it's not worse, because if I'm looking at his rookie year too, he only had 89 attempts his rookie year and he was 5.7 yards per attempt. But this year, 4.9 yards per attempt on less carries, but more effective on less carries. That's what he was this year. Because last year he had 4.7 yards per.
Yeah,
game.
Just
so it's kind
just
of splitting.
Barely, yep.
It's kind of splitting hairs at that point, but it felt more effective throughout the entire season. Like, him as an impact player this year compared to last year. Yes, last year he was good, but this year it felt like he impacted the game more.
Well, I mean, you've heard guys like even Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports mention that, like, this is the best Bills team he's seen in this era, and a lot of it is to do with the offensive line, yes, and James Cook's kind of emergence. Last year, he becomes a 1,000-yard rusher, makes a Pro Bowl. This year, he is tied for first in the league in rushing touchdowns with Jahmyr Gibbs and Derrick Henry, 16 rushing touchdowns each. And that's where I can understand why is, like, there's another guy that is taking a load off of Allen. It's why, like, Khalil Shakir, I think, has become so important for the Bills too, of being second in the league in yak yards, only behind what, Jamar Chase, who is arguably the best receiver in football, one of, like, six or seven receivers to have the Triple Crown receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns, the leader across the season. They're not like this, like, named talent team, but I feel like that is going to change next year. Like, I feel like somebody like Spencer Brown, if he continues to have a year like he had this year, is going to be an all-pro Pro Bowl right tackle. Because you're starting to see nationally people mention, like, yeah, you know, Allen only sacked 14 times and, like, their running game was awesome. Like, maybe their offensive line is better than a single Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to say
just,
anything crazy,
maybe.
But maybe. I don't know. You know, that's...
It is.
I'm frustrated, like, they didn't get a lot of name talent. I can understand it, though. This team was noted to be coming in as a transition year. You know.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like, when I look at everything that happened with all the Pro Bowl voting and everything like that, it bothers me, but not really. Like, yes, they all had good seasons. Yes, everything worked out nicely for the Bills, but if you're looking at the big picture, like, that Pro Bowl stuff, it kind of is based, it's just based off numbers and everything like that. Like, it's based off stats. And if you look at, you know, let's say Mac Hollins, he leads the Bills in receiving touchdowns. He does not lead the league in any sort of other statistic.
No.
And even a guy like Khalil Shakir, who at one point had only dropped three passes the entire season, he's also a guy that maybe should be getting a look for that, but it's because his volume isn't that high. It's because of how this offense is set up that those types of skill position players won't get the recognition that they might deserve because they are so effective for their team, just not in high volume, high, you know.
They're not like, they're not number ones.
They don't jump off the screen at you, but you know that they're a very important piece to that team.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line, though, I feel like, I mean, offensive lines in general, you can't really track much with that. You can track, obviously, like, you know,
how many sacks do they give
sack
off,
rates pressure and rates, pressure rates, and all that. But in terms of like the eye test and everything like that, and looking at like simple stats, there's not much there. So I do think that the Bills got pretty snubbed there in terms of giving their whole offensive line kind of giving them their flowers and everything mm-hmm. like that. But you know, when it comes to the entirety of the team as like the Pro Bowl thing, I don't think it really is that big of a deal.
I just like it for the guys because there's always contract incentives.
No,
like,
I get
like,
that.
That's the only thing I care, because I don't really care for the Pro Bowl games. I care for the guys that are like, yeah, if I get like a Pro Bowl, I get like an extra $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, sick. You deserve it. Great.
No, I get that part of it. But what I do love about this team is that doesn't matter to them. That it doesn't matter who did what, who won what, mm-hmm. who won whatever.
It's been a big talking point.
Aside from the fact that they all want Josh to win MVP. Like, that's the only thing that everyone's like, we need this for him. But even that in itself is something that's so nice to see. And I'm not saying that's, you know, going to make you a winning team or anything, but it does help in terms of chemistry, in terms of the team kind of coming together, and it helps when you're trying to keep the team together in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
When you have these guys that are pending free agents, like even Amari Cooper, who comes in here partway through the season, he's going to see the kind of withstanding effect of all these guys around him welcoming him with open arms, and also just the togetherness that this team has. He's going to see that and say, hey, this is pretty nice. Like, I might want to stay here.
Yeah.
You know, even if I do have to take a pay cut, I might want to stay here. Like, and again, that's
down the
way
road.
Down the road. But my point overall is this team kind of, to pull like a meme out of the air here, it's kind of like the power of friendship. We're going to just beat you with all being a good team. And it at the end of the day, you have to win the game on the field. But when the team works together the way that the Bills have this year, it's a lot easier to do it than when it's kind of, you know, I mean, we've seen it before me and you personally haven't, but mm-hmm. Bills fans have seen it before. The bickering Bills.
Yeah.
Like, it does cause problems. The further you get, the higher stress there is, the more pressure there is.
I mean, you look at the team like a Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, you got A.J. Brown reading a book on the sidelines because he's got one target.
That book, sales-wise on Amazon, I saw a tweet today, has gone up 5,000,000%.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Like,
I meant to look up the book's name, I think,
it's
yesterday.
Crazy.
Inner Excellence, Train Your Mind for Extraordinary Performances and the Best Possible Life. It is written by Jim Murphy. And yeah, it is just skyrocketed up Amazon's bestseller list.
Yeah.
Which it's just, I think, is awesome.
So amazing to see. But like you were saying, though, with the Eagles, like, you
I mean,
see,
they were having issues a month and some change ago where the passing game wasn't going, and A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts are not having a great time. And I can't remember the defensive player, but like, he went on like a podcast and was like, yeah, I mean, like, they're not best friends. Like, you know.
Yeah, and then he was like, I never realized I
wasn't supposed to say that. Did not know that was not public knowledge.
Right.
And yeah, like, their first playoff game, you know, Kellen Moore, their OC, seems to be just like completely just off. With the passing, there's no reason, like, with Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown and then Saquon Barkley in the backfield, your passing attack is not one of the best in football. There's just no reason.
Yeah.
And they weren't. I mean, Green Bay was just handing them the ball. And they're like, we kind of want a close game at home. We kind of want a close one. I get Jordan Love might be the reincarnation of Brett Favre, like, completely. We're good. No one's talking about that. Love is Brett Favre. Like, for every, like, mythical throw he makes where you're like, I'm going to tell my kids about that, and it's going to be just, I'm going to cry.
Oh, and then you get one that's just the exact opposite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you're just like, I literally don't know how he threw that ball. I actually don't know how he threw that. Speaking of the 0-3 playoffs, that game, 4th and 26, goes to overtime, and Brett Favre, inexplicably, on, like, first down of overtime, just goes, I'm going to throw, like, just a bomb. No one's open. I'm just going to throw it to the Eagles defenders.
Yeah.
It's You gotta just sit down, have an afternoon, and just go through it. Every game was a banger. Every mm-hmm. game, for no reason, was really good. I don't know why that specific one came up, other than like it was a great playoff run the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
But I sat down 3 days ago, watched it, and I'm like, this has changed my life forever. I knew about most of these games. I forget they were all in the same year.
I honestly like doing that too, like with just any sport. Like going back and just watching mm-hmm. games when we were like kids, where we didn't really understand what sports were.
Oh yeah. Didn't have the same feeling about them. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just like seeing like what these games were like, it's like, man, like that's
so much fun. It's so much fun. Well, and also, growing up, I loved the America's Games and stuff like that. Going through the Missing Rings ones was really good. What kind of got me into football when I was younger was actually NFL's top 10 lists, because it was something I'm a history junkie, and that continued on with sports,
yeah, right.
And so, like, going back and, like, the top 10 lefty quarterbacks and, like, Bobby Douglas, Chicago Bears, 1960s. I'm like, who is that? Who knows him? Who is that? You're telling me he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, but we're going to act like he was a great quarterback. Okay, I guess. But it's something I've always enjoyed about it. It's like going back to, like, years where, even before my parents were born, of, like, let's see, like, what the NFL was like then. Like, finding out it was either the 60s or the 70s was actually, like, very pass happy. And which was very weird for its era. And then it went back to rushing, and it kind of like readjusted itself. It was very weird. But it was like in the Daryl LaMonica days where it was like, actually, everyone kind of threw the ball a lot.
Well, and also think about the fact too, like when you're looking at all these old games and everything like that, like thinking about the fact that there's no social media, there's no phones, there's no, or even in like the early 2000s, there's early on the internet, like where you have to like wait 15 minutes for your internet page to
load.
Flip
phone, baby.
Yeah, the flip
LeBron
phone
LeBron James, Steph Curry, NCAA tournament game where he's just like sitting there like recording it on a camcorder.
The picture of LeBron you're thinking about is he's at WWE event, and he's got his flip phone out taking a picture of like Stone Cold Steve Austin or something like that.
He's like got the biggest smile on his face.
That's the stuff where I'm like, this is great. Like, I love looking back on this.
Oh, man. 803-0550 is the number if you want to join in the show. We have been talking as well of what do you think is more likely, a Sean McDermott screw up in the playoffs or a Lamar Jackson bad playoff game. That has been kind of the stigma for both of them. Muffin tweets in, I don't think either happens, but I do think a McDermott screw up is more likely. Lamar's team is too good for him to have a quote-unquote bad playoff game. And then another one kind of similar to that has been JC tweeting in, a screw up. At least if Lamar had a bad playoff game, they have an immovable force in their backfield to rely on.
That's exactly what I was just thinking about, because I was looking at the Ravens game against the Steelers last week, and even games in weeks before, and even the Bills-Ravens game from earlier in the season. Lamar Jackson, his numbers don't look good in the sense of he's only got 175 yards. Mm-hmm. What's happening? It's because of the fact that Derrick Henry is there.
The thing kind of just lean on him.
If there is ever a quote-unquote bad Lamar Jackson game this season, you kind of don't notice it because Derrick Henry most likely has kind of saved the game. And even later on in this season, since their defense has gotten better, there's been times where their defense has kind of pulled things out for them. So
except when they play the Steelers early in the regular season. Yeah, they apparently are the like, Lamar, go save us. Henry, you sit on the bench. And it's like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Lamar's not playing that well. What are you guys doing?
But like that's the thing is, like, you look at all these games, and it's tough to see if there was a bad Lamar game, like looking at it from like the surface level, because Derrick Henry can easily cover that up. Their defense can kind of cover that up.
Yeah.
That's, I think, going to be the difference maker this year, is if he does have a bad game, you have other things to rely on. You have Derrick Henry. You can just hand the ball off to him 26 times like you just did last week and just hope that he runs like crazy. But the Steelers' defense, as good as it had been all year, was abysmal last week. I mean, they weren't anywhere to be found. They had 186 yards from Derrick Henry for 2 touchdowns on 26 carries. That's basically the same stat line he had against the Bills earlier this season.
I mean, that Pittsburgh team by the end of the year, I mean, there was, I think, 2 other teams in the AFC that lost their last 5 games. Tennessee, who's picking first overall, and I think Cleveland, and then Pittsburgh. I think those were the 3 teams in the AFC that had lost the last 5 games of their season. Pittsburgh just had no life. Sure, they kind of got back into it in the second half with just prayer bombs by Russell Wilson to George Pickens or Mike Williams. Like, Baltimore at that point was just, let's get out of here. Let's stay healthy. Let's get out of here.
Yep.
There was no fight to them. I thought they way over pursued on like every read option play. Kind of to me, like I said it at that night, it kind of has given off the vibe that they don't think Lamar will ever run, which is insane to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they just over pursued. I know Sneaky Joe's brought this up a lot, but for a lot of people, it is kind of like the antithesis to like every Pittsburgh Steelers team they know. But like Mike Tomlin's defenses in the playoffs these last few years have given up a lot of points. I do wonder if it's, to the quarterback position, not able to sustain drives such. I mean, but if Mike Tomlin's your coach, 4th-and-1 is an insurmountable task. They are going to punt it as fast as humanly possible. But I think if I'm a Ravens fan, there's not too much I can take from the Baltimore from the Steelers game other than like, yeah, we may have actually broken them. We may have actually broken our biggest rival.
Right.
because you're going into Buffalo now in a team that also think it's a Super Bowl window. I don't think that's true of Pittsburgh at all. There might be some of those guys on that team that think we can make a run, we get hot, you know, the whole thing.
Every team has guys like that. Like it's
listen to George Pickens, who may be a crazy person, but he goes out there in the post game and is like, yeah, like I saw some signs of the offense in the second half. And like, oh, does that give you like hope for next year? No.
Yeah, right.
Not like, slightly, I don't.
He is one of those guys where I was really interested in him in terms of like if Pittsburgh's going to tear it down, go get George Pickens. But just, I don't know. I mean, the vibe he gives off is not
a bad,
not great
bad,
one.
Bad, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's a player, and there's been a lot of players throughout NFL history for me that I'm like, I mean, I love watching you, but like I would be very frustrated by you on my favorite team. Pickens like might be on that Mount Rushmore. I'm like, man, I love watching you play, and you're a lot of fun. You're talented, and you make me laugh. Mm-hmm. When like there are certain points in the game where he just decides, nah, I'm not going to run a route. They're not going to throw it to me. Yeah. I'm not going to run a route. And I'm going to make sure everyone knows I am, in fact, not running a route. And then he makes an absurd plays. I enjoy the fact that like he is very candid when he gets up in front of the media to the point where he has kind of stepped in it a few times. I mean, hell, remember early in the year when Fields was getting benched, we didn't know for sure yet. He speaks with the media and he goes, yeah, I've been working a lot with Russ. Like he's going to be playing next week. And everyone's like,
right.
Like, say that again. He's like, yeah, he's going to be playing next week. It's like, oh, okay.
Sweet. Thanks for the info.
So I enjoy a lot of it, but I know if like he was on the Bills, I'd be so frustrated by it. And I think especially, too, to that point, his personality does not fit this Bills team at all, and I think it would cause problems. I think it would cause a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he is talented enough to where you're like, you should throw in the ball more.
He's got that number one wide receiver vibe.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying I don't want the Bills to have a number one wide receiver, but like, there's guys you can get that are like that. That, like,
just kind of do their thing.
Yeah, like Amari Cooper, perfect example.
Amari Cooper.
At times, he's been a number one wide receiver.
Jefferson seems to have zero issues that Jordan Addison's also on his football team.
Yeah, and he also doesn't care really who's throwing him the ball because he's had Sam Darnold throwing him the ball all season. So,
yeah, I mean, it's. That's going to be a thing, too, that we're going to have to talk about again, right? Wide receiver. I mean,
I thought you were talking about Sam Darnold.
No,
I was like,
I mean,
please, no.
Cooper's 30. Samuel. Oh, we're starting to get something from Samuel, but.
Yeah. Yeah, that one. And Samuel's on the longer deal, but.
Yeah.
Are you going to believe in that for a longer term? That's the thing that I wonder about.
Josh, I was so gung-ho on Matthew Golden like a month and a half ago. And I'm like, guys, he's underrated. He might be Texas' best receiver. And the last month or so, I've just watched him become more and more clearly a first-round pick. And I'm like, unbelievable. Like, I can't have one guy follow the Bills where I'm like, they nailed it. Complete steal. Complete and utter steal. Unbelievable. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on the show. Let's get to one more call here before next time out. Rick on the line. Rick, how are we doing today?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Just to follow up what you're talking about, I watched the Pittsburgh game, the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, and then I rewatched it. And they had the ends. They had Highsmith and Watt crashing inside almost on every play to get to Derrick Henry, and they did nothing about Jackson. I think what McDermott could do is spy Taron Johnson on Jackson and let everyone else play straight up defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an idea. Rick, thanks for the call. And I do want to get more on that spy topic with Sal coming up after a quick timeout, because it is going to be something too with how dangerous Lamar is and knowing it's the playoffs and seeing how much he was willing to run against Pittsburgh. It's the same thing for Allen against Denver, how much they're willing to run once it becomes one and done kind of football. The idea of a spy kind of becomes a necessity, not even just a need. So we'll get more on that after a quick timeout. Sal Capaccio will join the show with the Bills getting back to work today. Sean McDermott expected to speak with media in under an hour at 12 o'clock. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Expo Point Show. You're listening to WGR.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The patience. Allen turns the corner and he will catch it. Back in the end zone. Touchdown. Catch made. It is Dawson Knox. And the Bills strike first on an excuse me touchdown from Josh Allen.
Ah, the perfect game. One of the more fun playoff games, I think, ever for a lot of Bills fans. Funny enough, though, Josh, I had no thoughts going into that game. It was the 21 season was kind of weird. It was not the 20 season by any means. You know, the overtime loss in Tampa and stuff like that. It did not have the, you know, the same feel. By the end of that game, it was like they can beat anybody. And then, of course, 13 seconds happens just a week later. And even in that game, the offense looked unbelievable. Potentially, we have another 13-type-second matchup coming up this Sunday. And for more on that, we go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how are you dealing with so many days still left between this game? I feel like I'm already on edge.
Yeah, listen, it's a good question because I was kind of tired of the kind of toxicity of it all yesterday already.
Right.
And I'm trying not to kind of focus on that or look at that. You know, I'm trying to do my job, just kind of cover football. And but you know, when you live in a social media world and when you have these two fan bases that have been going at it about the MVP all year, and then you have this week, it just has kind of, you know, ratcheted up. And then you have the whole, you know, Jerry Coleman thing, the reporter in Baltimore. You have people on social media making up stories that Matt Milano went on the radio out there and said things about Lamar Jackson, stopping him. So then you had a Bills fan do the same thing here and make up something about Kyle Hamilton going in a magazine. It's just kind of been a, and some of that can be fun, right? I mean, I'm not saying like, oh my God, like, you know, trying not to be a party pooper. I get it. But it's just created a whole bunch of stuff that I think is not about the game. And I'm here for the game. And I'm all about, you know, trying to focus on what's going to happen Sunday. But I do believe that it's hard because of all those things. You know what I mean? And I hear where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick on the Jerry Coleman thing too. The teams actively avoid to have, like, any, like, you know, a bulletin board material, anything like that. And, like, he himself posted after a question after Harbaugh in the video. It's kind of like, this is uncomfortable. Can we move on? Just foolish, I think, in a way. But, Sal, to this game, too, I feel like this is going to be an all-time crowd for this Bills game with all the storylines, with, as you brought up, how toxic it has kind of been, but with maybe sort of the storyline of, you know, is Allen taking the MVP or is Lamar taking the MVP from Allen and all this stuff, and both teams sort of having these quote-unquote playoff failures to their name. I can't wait. I we've been talking about it for a few weeks here. I think legacies are going to be, to a certain extent, almost fixed with the winner of this game and another team just it's going to be tough to recover from a loss like this. And both teams are worthy.
Yeah, they'll certainly be dug in. I mean, I don't know if you ever get fixed. You know, I grew up a little before you while John Elway and Dan Marino and Jim Kelly never won Super Bowls, and that was what stuck with them. And Kelly lost four in a row, and Elway lost three. And then suddenly, late in his career, Elway wins two, right? So his legacy changes completely. But it took him until he was in his mid to late 30s before anything like that happened. But I agree with you that what we have now and how these teams and quarterbacks and coaches are perceived, I think that, you know, regardless of what happens on Sunday, and maybe not regardless, but going to kind of stick with someone here in that same regard. And the way I've looked at it is, if it's the Ravens who lose, I think it will be, now, if unless Lamar just plays lights out and they lose, that could happen for sure, you know? But I feel like John Harbaugh, because he has a Super Bowl, has kind of been the one that hasn't really gone to him. But it has gone to Lamar because he's had poorer playoff performances, right? And that's kind of something he has to overcome. On the other side, I think it's the opposite. For the Bills, if they were to lose this game, Josh Allen, almost regardless of how he plays, I don't think that it gets attached to him as much as it does Sean McDermott because of how playoff performances have gone in the past, right? If all that makes sense. So I think that that's a really interesting scenario between the two fan bases and nationally and how these two organizations and those four men are perceived.
Yeah, I think it's spot on. A few weeks ago, maybe even a month and a half ago, before the playoffs really got going, teams were starting to clinch spots. I listened to the Colin Cowherd, John Middlecalf podcast a lot, and both men mentioned, you know, again, before the playoffs even were going, they assumed this was going to be the Sean McDermott, Lamar Jackson playoffs because those two kind of have, you know, whether it's right or wrong, kind of have that on their name of, like, you're the reason this team hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl yet. McDermott, of course, famously with 13 seconds, but there's been others. I mean, even last year with some of the personnel decisions, what have you, losing two straight home playoff games, not great for any head coach. And then for Jackson, you know, you've had the two seed once here. You've only made one AFC championship game, and he's had a lot of playoff failures to his name, bad games, not looking like the two-time MVP. I talk a lot about this on air too. Like, I love the playoffs more than almost anything. I love legacy talk. I love all of this stuff. And this is where it comes into it, is games like this, where it's two guys at the peak of their powers, two really good teams, one I think more underrated than the other. But there is some potential injury notes to this as well. I mean, Zay Flowers maybe not going to play in this game. The Bills, for as healthy as they've been, there were some injury notes, you know, on Sunday as well. Yeah. It's going to be I can't wait for Sunday night.
Well, so let's get to it here. We'll hear from Sean McDermott in about 25 minutes from now down here at One Bills Drive. That's where I am. And Sean will be speaking to the media for his normal Wednesday, 12 p.m. press conference ahead of practice. The team will hold a walkthrough today, normal procedure here on a Wednesday. We'll hear from players afterward, including Josh Allen. McDermott will give us an update on Ray Davis. Will he participate today at all? I'm not sure. He is in the concussion protocol, obviously. You know, you have a week here to have him progress through the steps. If he's limited today, if Ray Davis is limited, I think that's a very encouraging sign. But of course, it doesn't guarantee anything. If he doesn't practice, obviously, you start to think that, you know, okay, well, that's obviously limited now, the number of days he has remaining to get back, but it also doesn't guarantee that he can't. On the other side, but we also have Alec Anderson to monitor. He has a calf injury. He's considered day-to-day. He did finish the game, it's notable, on Sunday after leaving the game with a calf injury and then, you know, going in at halftime a little early and then coming back out. And then the other one would be Brandon Codrington, obviously, who missed last week's game with a hamstring injury. Sean McDermott said on Monday he's improving. He did practice at the tail end of last week, so hopefully that means, and that's good news for him, practicing this week as well. On the other side, Zay Flowers is really the one we're watching for the Baltimore Ravens. I listened to John Harbaugh yesterday say, you know, there's what he doesn't have to practice all week in order to be able to play. They'll know more later in the week. So my guess is he won't practice today, but we'll see. I don't know, guys. Even if Zay Flowers plays, it feels like, you know, he would be pretty compromised based on kind of how they're talking about the injury and, you know, his situation.
Yeah, so that's one of the things we were talking about most of this morning, is like, what happens with that Baltimore offense if they don't have Zay Flowers? And obviously Derrick Henry is still the standout there, but like, if you're the Bills, what's your kind of game plan here? Like, how do you plan for a guy like Derrick Henry, knowing that you also have to potentially plan for Mark Andrews, even Zay Flowers if he's there, and of course Lamar Jackson's rushing ability as well? I mean, the linebackers are going to have their work cut out for him.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that might be what you have to do, speaking of linebackers, Josh, is maybe play more three linebackers, a more base set, 4-3. But, people have hypothesized that. I'm just not sure the Bills want to do that because they have Taron Johnson, who's amazing at his job. But he is smaller. He's a nickel corner. And it's not like you can't stop the run with Taron Johnson. Of course you can. But when they bring in their 300-plus pound fullback and they go a couple tight ends and they have Derrick Henry, you want to be able to have more beef on the field in response to that. So I do wonder if the Bills do that and they go with what would be Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, and my assumption would be Dorian Williams, at the strong side. We'll see. Maybe Joe Andreessen. He could play the strong side too, by the way. I mean, who knows? I'm just saying that it would probably be Williams because he also has the speed. If you want to spy on Lamar Jackson, he's done that before as well. Matt Milano has been used as a spy, to try and contain him at least a little. I'm not saying that straight line speed, that these guys are faster than Lamar, but at least try to contain him a little bit. So it's a tough call. Now, if Zay Flowers isn't available, maybe that alters how you do play it and say we're going to do more of that because, he's such a really good slot receiver. Taron Johnson, if he is playing, Taron Johnson, obviously you'd want him on him. So I do think that it matters here, and we'll see how it plays out on Sunday. But, that's what game planning and coaching is all about, and it's going to be a fascinating chess match.
Sal, both these teams won in a blowout for wild card weekend, ultimately, outside of one game. It was a pretty rough watch if you're a neutral fan. Every game is kind of lopsided. But how much, if you're the Bills, can you really take from the Baltimore game? It felt a lot for that Pittsburgh game that Pittsburgh just was ill-prepared. I know a lot on the broadcast was talking about them just not having the typical, quote-unquote, Pittsburgh Steeler fight or anything like that. It's just, watching that game, for me, it just kind of felt like, yeah, they're a better team in Pittsburgh is the Pittsburgh Steelers lately in the playoffs. I had a tough time kind of taking anything from that game.
Yeah, me too. But I think from what I saw, though, regardless of that, and you're not wrong about that, I think Pittsburgh just wasn't up to the fight. Personnel-wise, we saw Pittsburgh kind of really not play their best football, I guess you'd say, over the last 6-7 weeks anyway, and we saw that going that way, or at least several weeks. But I think what you did see was, Baltimore came out and they were aggressive right away, and they went down the field and they scored. They scored again. I mean, it was, 21-7 or whatever it was pretty early in the game, or, early in the second half, whatever it was. It just felt like Baltimore just controlled the game from the get-go, and that's what the Bills can't have happen here, right? I think that this game is very important to me for the Bills. I don't think you have to necessarily, it'd be great to score early. Like, that'd be a really great thing for the Bills. Score early, get on top of them. But what you can't let happen is the Baltimore Ravens to get on top of you, because then they start controlling the game with their run game, and you just can't let that happen. And if the Bills can put them, behind and the Bills lead, then I think that Baltimore has to play a little bit differently and can't do that with Derrick Henry. And remember last year in the AFC Championship, I know they didn't have Derrick Henry, but the Ravens were criticized heavily for abandoning the run very early in that game. And, mm-hmm. I think that's what the situation you want to put them in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is going to be a game where the first quarter might decide kind of how this game is going to look the rest of the way. All right, Sal, we'll let you get out of here, get ready for Sean McDermott, and we'll talk again soon.
All right.
That was...
All right, guys, thanks a lot.
See you, Sal. That was Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline, giving his thoughts here as Wednesday is kind of like the official start of game week, with the Bills having off Tuesday. And this is kind of the start of, all right, here we go. We're rocking and rolling. I can't wait. I'm excited. And, I'm going to be a wreck by Friday. I can feel it. Yeah, Saturday's going to be a nightmare for me.
It's got that vibe.
Saturday, I'm just going to spend like my whole time at like the driving range. Just like anything to distract me, anything to like just like, because like, Even this past week for wild card round, like watching the games on Saturday, I was like on like the edge of my seat going like, all right, I'm ready for the Bills. I'm ready for Bills Denver. Let's go.
I think I might join you because I'm in the same boat. I have nothing to do. Yeah. There's no sport. Wait, did the Sabres play?
On Saturday?
Yeah. At least there'd be sports.
There would at least be sports. I mean, I always have college basketball as well.
So ooh, that's true.
I will always lean to them. But for Saturday, they do not. Friday, they do. Against Pittsburgh. Are they home against Pittsburgh? They are home against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they're home against Carolina tonight as well.
Look at that. 6 o'clock start time.
Love the 6 o'clock start time.
Wednesday.
I went to a 6 o'clock start time game, and it was perfect. You get out of the game at like 8:30, 9 o'clock. You're home by like 9, 9:30, depending where you live, and it's like peak.
Yep.
Just do every game at 6 o'clock, please.
Also have some college football news. Not too surprising. He kind of mentioned it right before the Ohio State game. Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers is heading to the NFL draft. I think he's
Arch Manning, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, he's expected to probably be, I would say, late first, probably early second, just because of his ability and what he did in college.
Mm-hmm.
I will also say, as much as I've had an up and down relationship with him, this also probably tells you how the Texas quarterback position has been most of its life. I'd probably put him at third. I would have Vince Young, Colt McCoy, Quinn Ewers. Those are the top three Texas quarterbacks of all time. With, of course, throwing in there James Street, Bobby Lane, Chris Sims, like those guys can be thrown in there as well as like some of the all-time great Texas quarterbacks. But I think those are the top three. None of them won a Heisman. Colt didn't win a national championship, but was awesome. Young is maybe, you know, he kind of was Cam Newton before Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder what his legacy could have been like if he was, you know, 10 years later in the NFL. But he was exceptional for his few years at Texas. And, of course, winning the 2005 national championship, the 06 Rose Bowl, if you will, because, of course, New Year's Day. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see what Arch Manning can do. He's taken over a program that is not kind of dead in the water like it was for guys like Sam Ehlinger or Shane Buechele now, who's I still believe, on the Bills roster as well. 803-0550, the number two call. We're going to take a quick time out here. We got one more segment before we get you over to Sabres Live. Again, the Sabres do play tonight against Carolina. 6 p.m. start time, which means our Steve Foley Law pregame show will get underway at 5 o'clock. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by, of course, Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Before we get out of here and get you over to Sabres Live, quick little Sabres talk as, of course, they are playing tonight at 6, 5 p.m. pregame right here on WGR. But the NHL is also releasing their quarter century teams today. Sabres are going to get released, we assume, probably around noon, one-ish. It'll be after we're off the air.
They tweeted out like an hour or so ago that it'll be announced this afternoon. Mm-hmm. So after we're done, obviously.
Yeah, it's going to be after we're done.
But
you've been playing around with it a lot in the
breaks. Yeah, I had a lot of thoughts and a lot of instant thoughts of like who it's going to be. I tweeted it out. If you want to check it out, at Schmitty47 on Twitter. I retweeted it with the GR account to get it out there and get it out there for you so you can read some of my numbers and stuff. But it's going to jump off the page that I don't have Danny Briere or Chris Drury on here, but I'm trying to base this off of how long players were here and how good they were. And yes, Drury and Briere were great.
Mm-hmm.
They were here for less than 300 games.
Yes.
That's the hard part. I wanted to put them on there. I really did. They played less than 300 games. Also, Eichel and Reinhart, not on here because, one, I'm a little bitter. Two, Again, they weren't here for long enough periods of time, I don't think.
I think they're also just completely synonymous with other organizations.
Yes.
Because this is the NHL doing it, not the Sabres.
Yeah, this is the NHL, not the Sabres. But the problem is, though, Eichel is not going to be on a Vegas one because Vegas probably won't get one. At least I don't think so because they've only been around since 2017. Reinhart probably won't be on Florida's because Reinhart's only been there for 3-4 years. He might be, but he probably won't be.
Yep.
So I do think that Eichel might make it on here in terms of what the NHL puts out. But what I put out, and the NHL, the way they've been doing this is only like one line. So here's a lineup. Vanek, Tage Thompson, Jason Pominville. On defense, you got Rasmus Dahlin, Brian Campbell, and obviously in goalie of Ryan Miller. So
I like what you're doing here with, though, like, let's go to games played. They've got to be good, sure, but they've had to have been synonymous with that organization.
Right, because a lot, like, again, you think of Drury, Briere, but they were only here for 3-4 years, and they didn't even start here. Mm-hmm. Vanek and Pominville started here.
We're part of the youth movement.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Vanek's rookie year was 05-06.
Thompson, not technically from here, but
true,
kind of has become what he is.
Right,
here.
And he's one of the captains now. He's one of the leaders. Same with Dahlin. Dahlin is the captain. He has been here his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mean, looking at all these numbers, too, like Vanek, 598 games played. Pominville, 733 games played. Jason Pominville was on the Sabres for nearly 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Not the whole time, obviously. He did leave and come back.
But total time, yeah.
But total time, it was nearly 20 years. Rasmus Dahlin, obviously, has been here since 2018, played 471 games. Brian Campbell's the one that I had a little... The other defenseman was a little tough. Ristolainen was kind of a consideration for me just because of the longevity.
Mm-hmm.
I put Campbell on there because of how good he was and how much of a polarizing player he was for the team. He played 391 games. I thought about Henrik Tillander. and it might be a name some people don't think about, but he played almost 500 games for the Sabres. So, and he was another guy that, granted, he only left and he left and came back for one season, but still, he was a guy I thought about. And obviously, of course, Ryan Miller.
We'll see what happens with that when it's released later this afternoon. But for more on the Sabres, do stay tuned. It's coming up next after a quick timeout. Sabres Live, Sabres taking on Carolina tonight, 6 p.m. puck drop, 5 p.m. pregame, both right here on WGR. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great rest of your day. This is WGR.